Welcome to Binge-topia. We hope you enjoy your stay.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Binge-topia.
Hello, and welcome back.
I'm Julia Hava.
I'm Eliza McLam.
If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/bingetopia, where you can get access to our bonus episodes, our reading list, and our monthly Zooms.
And I think that's all the housekeeping that we have for today.
Leave us a review.
Leave us a review. Leave us a good one.
Leave us a good one. We're obsessed with Zoom recording, unfortunately. I don't know why. It's like our new thing that we've been doing. Well, because I was sick, but...
Yeah, but honestly, like, I thought that it would ruin the vibe, but it is kind of great because we can both curate our own personal vibes. We can be in our little homes and still connect.
Well, it's convenient because I have my big computer in front of me. So it's like we can look on our computers while we're podcasting. We will go back to doing it in person because there are some things that are annoying about it. But it's good to know that Zoom recording works.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God. Actually, another housekeeping thing that I wanted to mention up front is that if you didn't catch the end of last week's episode, which I don't understand people who don't listen to podcast episodes all the way through. I feel that I almost always do. But if you didn't, we have a new segment. We have a segment and it's called Corrections Corner because we talk about it more in last episode. But basically, we are just two girlies with podcast mics and we do the best research that we can, but there are a lot of people who know more than us and there are obviously things that we're going to fuck up and things that we're going to miss. And so we just wanted to have a little dedicated segment for that, which will now come at the end of the episode. So
it probably won't be in every episode because hopefully we won't fuck up that much. So, if we have any corrections or things that we want to add from the last episode, then we will put that there. So today we're doing kind of a chatty episode, which we haven't done in a long time, you guys, because we are going on a 2-week hiatus after this.
Binge-topia is going on summer vacation.
We're literally going on a vacation,
which we haven't really done since.
No.
Like, I mean, we went on like a grief vacation for like a week.
I mean, there are some times that we go on and then like after like Roe versus Wade got overturned, I think we went on, did we go on a vacation? I don't know. I think
we did because we needed to like gather ourselves and come back with like a competent episode.
Sometimes we take like a little break, but we're taking an intentional 2-week hiatus just because we're new, exciting things are going to be coming after our hiatus. It's the end of summer vacation. We're going to be back in school in September. Well, you guys will get episodes by the end of August, but we're going to be back in school.
We're going to be back in school.
With all the kiddies starting school.
Exactly. And if you miss us, you can always find us on Patreon. We'll still be uploading regularly there, which means 2 episodes a month. So actually, if you subscribe to the Patreon now, if you're not already subscribed, you will miss no weeks of Binge-topia.
Wow. Because
you'll have them already filled by the Patreon. So if that isn't a sell, I don't know what
that's
is.
That's literally so true. I am covered in fucking mosquito bites and I'm so mad about it.
I am upset at mosquitoes too, especially because I am the type of person who gets mosquito bites and there are some people who just don't. And there are some bitches who are delicious. Like,
there's
us.
Something wrong with me. Like, I get covered. When I went home, I literally got covered in like thousands of mosquito bites just because I was sitting in the backyard once, like outside. It was fucked up.
It's
and then
really
I
unfair.
Scratch them because of course I do. And then I get scars from scratching them.
Yeah, I have that terrible thing where like mosquito bites can reactivate. Like weeks later, like I'll have a dormant mosquito bite and like scratch it once and then all of a sudden bites appear. But I actually wait for the intro section. I have a gripe that I want to talk about. I want to speak on.
Yeah, speak on it.
I'm speaking my truth. Thank you. Let me just say as a preface, consider this your spiritual reminder and just like a call into the ether that you should get your fucking passport renewed. And the way that you get your fucking passport renewed is that ahead of time, like more than 6 months in advance to when your passport expires, you just send it in like to the fucking government and then they do all the things that they need to do and they mail you back a new passport and it's good and you're done. The thing that I did, because I am like a chronic procrastinator to a degree that like, I don't know, honestly, this situation doesn't even really help that because I somehow always find a way to pull it together, like by the grace of God. But essentially, I am going to Berlin on Friday, which I'll already be there by the time you're hearing this episode. But I just thought, you know, there's got to be a way that like, I don't know, 2 weeks before I can start getting this ball moving.
Gov is literally having a panic attack hearing this right now. Like, my dad would be, he literally is going to call me after this and be like, tell Eliza that she needs to renew her passport earlier because I'm really stressed for her.
I will do that. I will do that because let me tell you the fucking hell that I experienced. And by the way, totally brought on by me, just to really double down on that. I knew months ago that I was going to go on this trip. I knew that I had the time to mail it in and do it the easy way. I chose violence against myself. And what that ended up meaning is that when you get to a certain point, which ends up being for me, you know, 2 weeks out of the trip, your only options are either to A, pay a private company to expedite your passport for you, which I called and inquired about, and that cost $1,200. So I was like, great, in a moment of needing to find another way. So then the other option is to go to an official passport agency. And so a passport agency is an office that there are only 13 of in the entire fucking country. Luckily, there is one in Los Angeles, but obviously, like, any government building that, like, has a lot of people coming through and, like, needing things from it, appointments are booked extremely quickly. So I called the, like, national passport agency, and they were like, great, we have only one appointment available between now and the time you leave, and it's in El Paso, Texas. So I was like, love, time to go to fucking Texas. And I really was down to drive because I was like, I'm not about to spend $1,200, and I'm also not about to miss my vacation because of, like, my stupid mistake. Also because my boyfriend had taken time off of work, and it was, like, his vacation, and, like, we're gonna meet up with my friend from college. Like, there's a lot of moving factors to, like, right. if I were to fuck up everybody's vacation because of my personal incompetence, I honestly couldn't stand it. So I was fully prepared to drive to Texas. And so I went ahead and I made the appointment. And then she was like, okay, you just have to keep calling back every 5 minutes if you want to find an appointment at the Los Angeles office, because they come and go that quickly. And at first I was like, okay, whatever, I don't think so. Like, I don't think that they would come and go. Like, what do you mean? There's bitches all the time. Like, passport yes, passport no. Like, what's the deal? But then I call 5 minutes later and they're like, oh, we have one appointment in Honolulu. Just kidding, it was taken. And I was like, oh my God. So then I keep calling. On my 25th call, I finally get an appointment at the Los Angeles passport office for Monday morning. And I was like, thank fuck.
Wait, you called 25 times?
Yes.
Like every 5 minutes? How literally much time does minutes. Somebody who knows math tell me how long that took?
Somebody comment on the Patreon and let us know, because I'm not going to do that. I mean, it was fine. Ultimately, like, better than having to fucking drive to Texas. But anyway, then I am under the assumption, as somebody who has not really dealt with American bureaucracy much, like, let me just make this clear. I'm new to being an adult. I'm 21. I'm just now, like, booking doctor's appointments and things like that. I'm not really understanding how the world works yet. In my mind, when the appointment says 9:30, that means I walk into a little office. I get there around 9:20, 9:25. I just, like, sit down for a few minutes. And then suddenly I, you know, can go turn in my documents and get a passport.
Have you ever been to the DMV?
Yes, I have. And I was unaware that the U.S. Passport Agency would do the exact same thing that the DMV does, but worse.
The DMV is the epitome of bureaucracy. That is what all bureaucracy is.
And
like,
so is the fucking passport office. I'm not going to walk you through every, like, absolutely mind-numbingly boring step of my bureaucracy experience, but I will just say that there were several lines that I had to wait in. Like, I had to wait outside for, like, an hour, and that was just the line to, like, get your security, you know, checked because you're going to go into a government building. I had to, like, wait again. It also was a really great opportunity for people watching, because these bitches are stressed, because, like, there's people literally with, like, luggage trying to be, like crying to the passport officer being like, please, I need to get my passport renewed. And I'm like, wow, at least I'm not them. But anyway, I was, like, chilling, and then I waited and, like, turned in all my documents. Surprisingly, really great customer service experience at the U.S. Passport Agency. I would think if you deal with, like, really hysterical, rude people all day that you would be kind of jaded by that. But the guy was, like, making little jokes with me. It was fun. And yeah, then I just had to go back. I mean, they were like, yeah, we'll print your passport and it'll be available Wednesday so you can come back. And then, of course, that was a whole other thing that I had to wait hours for. But I was, at the end of the day, elated that, really truly against all odds, against every odd, I have a passport and can now travel. So just, if go check your passport right now, see if it's about to expire. If it's going to expire within the next year, just go ahead and fucking mail it in, because it takes no time, and then you won't have to do what I did.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. My dad has such severe passport anxiety that when we're at the airport, he won't let anybody hold their passports. Like, he holds everybody's passports. My mom's like, I'm literally the same age as you. Like, can I hold my passport? And he's like, no. And he just, like, takes all my passports. And so we're going to Canada in a couple weeks. And my dad was like, Do you have your passport? Make sure you bring your passport with you. I'm like, Dad, you have my passport from when we went to Croatia. You didn't give it back to me. Like, I'm 25 years old and you don't let me have my own passport. Like,
I'm not trusted with my own passport.
No. And like, I swear to God, like, I know that my dad is like having a conniption just like listening to your passport story. Like, he has like secondhand anxiety. And he's also going to say, Eliza, please make sure that you get to the airport 3 hours ahead of your international flight.
Literally, honestly, what is it about men and getting there early for flights? Because literally, Redacted was telling me, he's like, yeah, when I was in Paris, like, I got so anxious that I was going to miss my flight that I showed up to the airport 12 hours early.
That's straight up my dad.
He like slept in the airport. It was so funny though, because our flight's at 5 like p.m. on Saturday or on Friday, and I asked my boyfriend, I was like, oh, when do you think we should get there? And he was like, oh, I'm thinking around like 11 or 12. And I was like, are you out of your mind? Like, we're about to have to sit on a plane for like over 10 hours already. Like,
I mean, that is
sit in the airport.
Honestly, Redacted and my dad would really bond on that, because my dad, when he gets to the airport, and my mom is like really like oppositional, so she'll on purpose like try to be late to the airport because right. It pisses her off so much that my dad wants to be on time, and she'll like go and be like, I'm gonna get a snack, like right when the plane is boarding, and my dad's like having a conniption. Like, it's just like, it honestly is one of the biggest like things in relationships. There's always one person who gets to the airport early and the other person like doesn't get to the airport early, is like running on the tarmac by the time the plane's leaving.
I know, again, it's like, I really don't learn my lesson though, because I've never missed a flight. Like, I mean, I get to the airport an hour and a half early, which I think is like the correct amount of time.
Do you have TSA pre-check?
I do not, but I need to get her.
Dude, you really, like, TSA PreCheck is that bitch. If anybody wants to do a sponsorship, like, TSA PreCheck, like, I am a proud TSA PreCheck user.
That is so wild that you can just pay extra money and be like, I promise I'm not a terrorist.
No, they fingerprint scan you.
Oh, they
like,
do
your fingerprints. They, like, take, they have to, like, scout you out and, like, make sure that you're, they really do, like, a full background check.
Right. You know what I fucking saw the other, I mean, if you're a suicide bomber, if you're going to go down, like, who cares if they have your fingerprint? Sorry, not to bring it back to last episode, but
not to bring it back to a place of 9/11.
But that kind of reminds me of the fingerprint scanning. Like, have you ever seen those people in the airport that accost you and want to scan your eyeball? And they're so invasive. And also, kind of on that like surveillance state line, I was in Whole Foods the other day illegally against
Dude,
the government's wishes.
Dude, you wouldn't get TSA pre-check because they would see on your record that you had stolen from Whole Foods.
No, that's not on my record. She got expunged. But I at Whole Foods, and I see the thing that's like, oh, you can pay with your palm, and it's Amazon sponsored.
What Whole Foods?
It's the one that used to be a 365 in Silver Lake. It's Amazon sponsored. You can literally sell, like, give your palm data to Amazon, and then because Amazon bought Whole Foods, you can then pay with your palm through your Amazon account at Whole Foods. And if that's not like eighth level hell, I don't know what is.
Jeff Bezos straight up has everybody's fingerprints. Like, Amazon is going to catch the next like Golden State Killer through like paying at Whole Foods.
I mean, I'm positive that the US, like, the government has to buy data from Amazon. Like, there's no way that they don't.
Can I just say, my friend just texted me and she said, I just met a man who said he's never experienced negative self-talk. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, he said, why would you think mean things about yourself? need that brain.
Literally what I would give. Honestly though, it's like so funny because those men always end up having like a mortifying crisis at like 45 when everything finally spills out, and it's like, King, that was repression the whole time.
You just didn't realize you were having negative. But I love, like, why would you think mean things about yourself? Bitch,
it's like, well,
have you lived life? Like, have you experienced reality?
Right. It's like, not really a choice for us, King, but I'm glad that you can just shove every negative emotion into a tiny box until it explodes in front of your wife and children 20 years later.
My dad also called me today and he was mad at me that I don't have CNN notifications on because he was upset in our last episode that I didn't talk about how they got Osama bin Laden's comrade, I guess. They just got him.
They killed him.
Yeah, because he apparently liked to read on his balcony like in the early morning hours, so they just like sniped him. I don't know what happened, but like they got him. So yeah, there was that. But my dad was like, you need to turn on CNN notifications. I'm like, Dad, why would I want to get more notifications about things that are happening? I
the
don't
New York Times
know.
One's already ruined my day.
So another thing that you guys might not know about that I recently found out about is that the Earth is spinning faster.
Okay, I'm not gonna say, I hope I'm not the first one to say this, but I've been feeling dizzy lately and I really think that that's the culprit. Once I found that out, shit started making sense. Let me
honestly
tell you.
Like, something did shift. That one bitch who said something's gonna shift before COVID, the world is literally spinning faster. I was talking to somebody today. No, you know, it was Michaela. She was like, are we just all supposed to like run in the other direction like really fast?
If we all ran really fast in the other direction, I think we could maybe spin it a little bit.
But correctly. I think it might be because of climate change. It's like only a couple,
I'm sure
it's like a millisecond or something, but like who knows? Like, but then I was also like, apparently it's like the fastest the earth has spun since like 1950, but I'm like, y'all didn't know how fast the earth was spinning before that, so do you know that this is not
spinning?
Norm spinning.
She's doing a little twirl.
She's doing a twirl. But I am concerned about that. Apparently also there's going to be way more zoonotic diseases because of climate change, because animals and humans are merging on territories.
Right. Yeah.
So global warming's having a lot of effects. I'm really concerned about monkeypox. I don't know why people aren't more concerned about this. Like, sounds horrible.
I know. Really. I'm like, should I even like go to a club when I'm in Europe? Because I feel like I'm gonna go through it.
Yeah, I think it's not. Well, the thing is, like, they're also just like, oh, well, we don't really know how it spreads, but like, oh, it's only like gay people, so it's fine. And it's like, well, it's not because they're gay that they have monkeypox. Like, anybody can get monkeypox. And also, they're like, yeah, well, you can get it from sex, but also being in the same room with someone without a mask on. I'm like, so what is the truth? And then they're like, sharing like silverware with somebody can give you monkeypox.
It feels like early COVID days when we were all like Cloroxing our mail, you know, when
but
we had no idea.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, them being like, oh, it's not going to be a pandemic. I'm like, why would I trust anything that you people say? Why would I trust that?
Yeah.
Because I was one of the early COVID people. I was like, I'm concerned about COVID, because I saw in like January, I was like, this is really concerning that there's a disease in China that's like really killing people. And I remember my mom being like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, it's fine. And guess what fucking happened? So I'm also, polio is back, by the way.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It's all Jenny McCarthy's fault. Literally directly her fault.
You should have been vaccinated for polio if you were a child, though. So,
but it's the anti-vaxxers that are telling people right. not. So literally, like, we're bringing back polio. It was and polio you get through the water.
It's so fucked up that it's like people are more afraid of their children being autistic than their children getting like an ancient venereal disease that like we should have eradicated
and being put
ago.
In an iron lung. Like, are we gonna have bitches in iron lungs again? Have you
did
seen
you ever
those?
See that video?
What video?
There was like a video of like a really old guy with polio and he was in an iron lung and it looked so fucking scary.
Yeah, it's really scary. Like, it's not the vibe.
Iron lung is not the vibe.
Okay, I also, moving on from, because this is kind of just like a hodgepodge episode. Does that make sense? It's a potpourri, a potpourri of episode. So somebody was like, you need to read this. I'm really glad that you have not heard this before. It's an Am I the Asshole? It says, am I the asshole for making our guests participate in our puppet themed wedding?
What?
So I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
My fiance, 26 female, and I, 27 male, met at college. We were in our school's performing arts program and met in a puppetry class. In the class, we designed our own puppets. Mine, named Hat Boy, and my fiance's, Daisy, she's better with names, were what we initially used to talk to each other and flirt in class.
Oh,
we fell
God.
In love, and in a way, we've considered Hat Boy and Daisy in love as well. Years after graduating, we still use Hat Boy and Daisy both at home and at our local but fairly prominent theater, where we perform puppet shows with high-end Muppet-style puppets. While planning our wedding, we realized we wanted Hat Boy and Daisy to be a part of the ceremony. This is just giving Minnie and Mickey all over again. They've been a part of us since the beginning, and it just felt right. We also invited our entire troupe of puppeteers from the theater and got the idea that we should have our wedding completely officiated by puppets, and that our wedding parties would be made up of puppets and our closest puppeteer friends.
Oh,
we figure it'll make for incredible pictures. Here's what we aren't sure if we're the assholes or not. We're insisting that all of our guests also participate and use puppets. In lieu of gifts, we've asked everybody to purchase high quality, but not nearly the quality of professional puppets to use during our wedding. We took the guesswork out of it and directed them to several vendors, some of who offer really cool options. Everyone could realistically expect to spend $150 to $500 depending on what sort of details and whatnot they wanted. We also want everyone to wear their puppets during the entire wedding and reception.
My God.
All puppets we're suggesting can be mounted on and controlled with one hand. The puppets are meant to be guests at the wedding in the same way all of our human guests TSR as well. Well, let's just say there are a lot of people not happy. Both of our parents, my wife's sister, and family members on both sides have complained that this is completely unreasonable. They're concerned about how they are going to eat and drink. How are they going to dance? You don't need hands to dance, so I don't know where this complaint came from.
We, white of course, people vibes. I'm sorry.
You don't need hands to dance. They're just like flopping around doing the worm. We, of course, don't expect people to have their puppet on their hand while in the bathroom, but everywhere else, we'd really insist on it. We also made sure that our hors d'oeuvres are all finger foods. There will be plenty of cocktail tables so people can put down their drinks. We even made sure that all of the food for the dinner itself is portioned so that it can be eaten in bite sizes with just a fork without having to use a knife.
My God.
We really think this would make for a special day. We only get to do it once and think that it will be an event that all of our guests will remember for a lifetime. We have a hard time believing that once there, they wouldn't have a blast. So Reddit, are we the assholes for making what we think is a silly but harmless and reasonable request for our one special day? Thanks for reading.
Me getting blackout drunk and waterboarding my puppet in the middle of the rehearsal dinner. Okay, here's my thought on this. It kind of feels like leaving your pet in the room while you have sex. Like, nothing inherently fucked up about that, but like, they shouldn't be involved. Like,
they shouldn't
be there. Like, they didn't really ask for that. They shouldn't be expected.
You guys being in love, like your puppets being in love as well, like you definitely do some weird shit in the bedroom with the puppets.
Right. I just think it's like some people are built for the stage. Some people are built to like be silly and have fun and buy into the bit. No, like, yes, it's harmless to ask people to buy into the bit, but I think that like it's only really fun if people are wanting to do it. Like, I think that like forcing everybody to like suddenly become a thespian, like imagine someone's like 98-year-old like peepaw being like wheeled in and having to like, you know, perform.
And they're like, no, talk in the puppet voice. Talk in the puppet voice. We're also requiring that everyone learn ventriloquy so that it looks like the puppet is talking instead of them.
Right, exactly. Jesus Christ. It's like somebody's like 98-year-old grandmother who like lived through the Holocaust, like being forced to like put a puppet on her hand and be like, hello.
Hello. Congratulations on your ceremony. Jesus. Okay, but here's the thing. Would you rather go to the Mickey and Minnie themed wedding without food or the puppet wedding where you are required to purchase your own puppet and use it?
Oh no, here's the thing. I'm the type of person that would delight in this.
In the puppet wedding?
I would have, if I was a little drunk, are you kidding me? I you know, have different personas all the time. I think it would be so fucking fun.
What if we did a Binchtopia puppet show with like puppets that look like us?
We would honestly get decimated even harder than we did for the ASMR episode, and I don't know if I could face that again.
So you would rather be at the puppet wedding than the Mickey and Minnie no food wedding?
Oh, literally no question. I think it would be so, it's also such a good excuse to like say things you wouldn't normally say and be like, it wasn't me,
it was the puppet.
Would you be the puppet, or would you be at the foodless wedding?
I mean, I'd obviously rather be at the wedding with food, but like the idea of like you can't use a knife, they're all finger foods because you're required to keep your hand in the puppet at all times.
I know. I mean, it really is asking people to commit to an evening of acting, which I think many people are not prepared to commit to.
And I think some people would just like to enjoy the wedding. Maybe.
Right.
You don't need hands to dance.
Yeah, just move those shoulders.
Move those shoulders. And the puppet can dance with you. So honestly, like, at least this is, I think it's less cringy than having Mickey and Minnie at your wedding. It's still horrible, but like, at least it's unique.
I hope that, I mean, the people that come have to be a little willing to buy into it. And I hope that, I really do think this is one of those situations where like a good vibe and like alcohol can just facilitate a sort of silly and fun evening. But I just don't, I mean, the thing is like, isn't doing puppetry, which is sort of a niche art, you must know that not everybody is into that. So like, and what's fun about puppetry is that everybody who's into that is like really into it.
You're
so
like, what's fun about puppetry as a puppeteer?
Right. But well, it's just like, why would you want to hold hostage like a group of your loved ones and involve them in this thing that like you find so much joy in your niche community who also finds joy in, and it's something that they don't really want to do.
It's also like, weddings are also sometimes kind of cringy, so to like bring the puppets with you to the altar, like, are the puppets gonna say their vows?
The puppets are gonna kiss.
It's implied that the puppets are also in love and they are also getting married. Is there a puppet officiant that is officiating the separate wedding yeah, for the puppets.
I'm sorry, what's the legality on this? When they go on their honeymoon, are they going to bring their puppets and have their like honeymoon sex with their puppets right next to them? Like,
it seems like the puppets are involved. The point is that everybody on Reddit said, you guys are the assholes. So that is Am I the Asshole, the puppet thing. We also asked you guys for just things that we should talk about in general. We got a bunch of questions. One thing that somebody wanted us to talk about was that Gypsy Rose has gotten married in prison.
Oh, to whom?
A man. Let me see who. Congratulations to her. What do you think about Gypsy Rose? I think free her, personally.
I think free her. I mean, Jesus Christ, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine.
For those who don't know, Gypsy Rose, which, like, you guys better know, but Gypsy Rose was this...
Joey King did not give her
Joey
serve.
Joey King did not
nothing.
Shave her head for nothing. So, basically, Gypsy Rose was this poor girl whose mother had Munchausen by proxy and was, like, basically poisoning her and convincing her that she had cancer to, like, get a bunch of money from, like, everybody and also take a bunch of Make-A-Wish trips. And then it turned out that she didn't have cancer, and then Gypsy killed her mom with her boyfriend. But, like... the woman was holding you hostage. I feel like she shouldn't go to prison for the rest of her life for
that. And, like, literally poisoning her. The other thing is that, like, she really infantilized her the entire time, which obviously is kind of necessary in order to do Munchausen's by proxy at her age. And so the fact that she, like, found a guy online who, like, thought she was sexy and, like, thought she was attractive, like, you know, I don't totally blame her for, like, you know, also because he had the idea.
It was his idea.
Yeah, so I don't totally blame her for, like, going along with that and him promising her not only freedom, but, like, the opportunity to be seen as, you know, what she was at that time, which is, like, a woman and not just, like, this, you know, wheelchair-bound child.
Right, right. So Gypsy Rose has married Ryan Scott Anderson in Missouri in prison.
Gypsy Rose has married Pete Davidson.
Gypsy Rose. God damn it. That would be a serve.
Yeah, there really would be.
But apparently she was previously engaged to a man named Ken who she met through the prison's pen pal program, but they called off their engagement in August 2019. So she has found love again, and I'm happy for her.
I'm happy for her too. Did they have a wedding?
I mean, whatever kind of wedding you can have in prison, I suppose.
Are they in the same prison?
I don't probably know, because they usually split it up by gender, right?
Right. So it must be through another, like, pen pal program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me think so. All right. So let's see some other things that people asked us. These are just some like, random questions. Also, do you know who Andrew Tate is? Everybody keeps asking us to talk about Andrew Tate, and I don't know who that is.
I don't. Should we Google?
He's, like, apparently some, like, horrible, like, conservative man who, like, is running a pyramid scheme and, like, has said vile things about, like, the Me Too movement and, like, everything. But people keep asking us to talk about it, and it's, like, sounds like he sucks. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't really keep up with the conserves that much. I just assume they're, like, doing evil shit. So.
Keeping up with the conserves.
Yeah.
But also, a good thing that happened is, did you see what happened in Kansas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
shout out, like, to Kansas. Shout out to Dorothy in Kansas.
Shout out Kansas. Shout out local elections. Period.
So Kansas rejected an abortion amendment. And this is, like, a huge victory because they voted for abortion rights, just even in a Republican held state. And apparently a lot of women, like, voted for it too, even, like, conservative women. Voters in Kansas turned out in record numbers to reject extreme efforts to amend the state constitution to take away a woman's right to choose and open the door for a statewide ban. So this is, like, really proof, you guys, like, your local elections really matter. Everybody should be registered to vote because, like, you really can make a difference in these sort of situations.
Yeah, yeah. At the state level especially, it's really important. And this just shows that, you know, the collective action, the spirit is strong.
And the bitches in Kansas, shout out to them. We hail you, Kansas.
We do. I loved my time in Kansas. I love you guys.
Right, right, right. So here's some stupid questions that people asked us. Number one, if each finger could dispense a different liquid, which five liquids would they be? I already know one is going to be a Baja Blast.
Okay, tell me why this question is always asked. I feel like it's always like, yeah. I mean, maybe it's just me who, like, went on a lot of, like, backpacking trips and, like, summer camps and stuff. But I feel like it was always, like, a silly question to ask the children.
Really? I've never been asked this question before.
Really? Wow. You didn't spend enough time at weird summer camps that were, like, not, you know, protected by any legal rights.
Well, what are your five liquids?
Okay. Well, yeah, one will have to be the Baja Blast Freeze, which I got to tell you guys, if you've been listening since the beginning of the podcast, you know that that used to be my thing. And I really, especially when I lived with Julia and during COVID times, like often that was the only bright light of my day.
She's been known to Baja Blastress.
I am a Baja Blastress. And by the way, really have to clarify, not just the Baja Blast, the Baja Blast Freeze, the Baja Blast Freeze. Obviously, I'm a Mountain Dew kid because I grew up in North Carolina. Like literally my aunt, I remember one time at Thanksgiving, I was like, oh, what's in my cousin's bottle? And he was like, one or two. And she was like, it's Mountain Dew.
I love that. So wait, can you explain what a Baja Blast is as somebody who's never had one?
Okay, to my, yeah, again, that stuns me. Also, I know that I've let you try my Baja Blast and you were not a fan. And that also stuns me once again to the point where I'm like nearly on the floor shaking and crying.
I don't remember. I think it tasted like there was like static electricity in it.
I'm sure. It is. It's an explosion of flavor. But I think it is loosely based on the concept of Mountain Dew. I say loosely based because it's like a near cousin.
Right.
They put some crack in the Baja Blast, I'm sure. But there's a version of it where it's basically just a soda, and there's a version of it where it's like a slushy. Obviously, I'm always in a slushy mood. I'm a slushy girl. So I always do that. But I have not really been in a place of Baja Blast except for today when I had to go back to the passport agency and I was like, I need something. And then I went and got a Baja Blast Freeze and it really, really turned the day around, let me tell you.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's super refreshing. And it's just so good. It's so good. Like you take a sip and you're like, wow, I actually am like biochemically required to take another. I don't think I could do five, but let me just do my three. I would definitely do Baja Blast Free. Does this imply that we get water? Like
I
normally?
I think water is like normal. Yeah.
Okay. Assuming that water is still an abundant natural resource and hasn't been capitalized yet. I would do Diet Coke. Of course I would do Diet Coke. Uh-huh. And then I think maybe like a hot tea or like, ooh. No, sorry. Decaf oat milk latte. Hot. Gotta say it. Gotta do it. Hot. Gotta do it. Those are my three.
Wait, are Baja Blast carbonated?
Yes.
See, this is why I don't like them. I don't drink soda because I don't like bubbles.
That is crazy to me. You don't like Prosecco?
I mean, I'll drink Prosecco. I definitely will drink Prosecco. But like, I never drank soda growing up because I didn't like bubbles. Whoa. Which is like good for me, I guess, because like soda's pretty bad for you. But like everybody being like, I love Diet Coke. I'm like, I don't want to drink that. Like, I don't think I've ever had a glass of Coke or Diet Coke.
Oh my God, that is crazy. I think I like in the South, if you were born there, you just like, that's programmed into you genetically.
I just don't like bubbles. Shout out to all my people who don't like bubbles.
Well, then what would be your three?
I would love a lemonade, like a really, like a good lemonade. Like not one of those like fake ones that taste like fakey.
Like some lemonade that has like a little pulp in it or something.
Yeah, and it would have to be like fresh squeezed and I don't want it to be too sweet. Like I like when you can really taste the lemons. So I would like that. I'm trying to think. Maybe some sort of milkshake. Like a chocolate In-N-Out milkshake. Like that would be delicious to me. I would like some sort of like iced green tea or like hibiscus tea.
Love that. Great choice.
I think those would be my three if we're doing three fingers dispensing liquid. But I don't know why that would be convenient to me. I'm gonna say that.
I mean, you might save some money, but I do think that like part of the whole thing of, you know, because there's that whole meme or concept about like getting a fun little drink, which I think is very true and very apt, but part of the whole thing is the adventure, you know. Right. You like go out and go get it, but sometimes I am like, I need a Diet Coke right now,
right?
And I just have to find the local McDonald's drive-through instead of just having it come out my little fingy.
That makes sense. Plus, you never know if you're going to run into Christian Walker at the Starbucks drive-thru.
So true.
All right. Here's another question. Should AIs have rights?
Okay. What kind of rights?
I'm confused about how much AIs do know and what they do not. Because like from seeing Westworld, it seems like they know a lot more. But I don't think AIs are actually as close to humans. Like, remember how we were talking about that guy that like, oh, he like found out that AIs are sentient. Like, apparently that's not true. Like, he's just crazy. And like, that's like, he was like taking
snippets. That's what they said about all the original truth tellers. I'm like getting back into my like anti-fluoride conspiracy theory bag. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I don't think AIs are at the point where we can consider them sentient either based on the available information that I know, which again is not that much. But you know, I did like watch that Black Mirror episode where they like have that like, have you watched Black Mirror?
Yeah.
Have you seen that episode where basically this woman like consents to clone herself in AI to make her own personal assistant so that she yes. can like have everything done the way she wants? And like that looked really sad and scary.
Yeah, that's like kind of like Severance too. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, Severance is like that too. Yeah, so interesting. I feel like honestly, as much as I hate the like, you know, hurdle towards death that like this late capitalist, you know, crypto techno spiral is sending us into, like the media being made about the fear is very good.
It is very good. But here's my thing. Just stop making more advanced AI and then you don't have to worry about giving them rights or not, or whether they'll like overthrow the government.
Right. It's like, I don't know if we've ever considered the fact that like we actually don't need innovation to happen at this pace. Like
we don't need innovation that excites anymore.
Like we could actually focus on like doing things that improve the material reality of the people living in the world. And then we can figure out how to like build cars with just robots. But like until yeah. then, like let's like there's people who don't have food. Like
and there's people who don't have jobs either. And you're taking jobs away from people by making robots.
Right. Right.
Like
so
it's not good for
that.
Anybody. And like, why are we trying to get to Mars instead of just like healthcare, please? Like, it's,
yeah,
it's just whoever's going to invent the most fucked up, like insane thing, like the flying car or whatever. And it's like society has progressed enough in technology. I promise you, social media has done more irreparable damage and like also transformed society more than anything else that you could possibly invent at this moment. So just stop inventing things.
Yeah. Like if you're going to make an AI that cures cancer, let's move forward right. with that. But like, I don't give a fuck about like Tesla Model Z. Like I really couldn't care less.
But I guess AIs are based, like they're coded based on like human knowledge. So if humans right. don't know how to cure cancer, how would an AI know how to cure cancer?
I guess because they can synthesize information in ways that humans can't.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I don't like it at all. All right, next question. Thoughts on the Jeffree Star yak meat ranch in Wyoming / all celebrities moving to Wyoming? Do you know about the Jeffree Star yak meat?
I don't, and I am sad to have to learn about this.
Okay, so infamous makeup guru Jeffree Star got like canceled a million times and then was like moving to Wyoming because on my like I'm going to my yak
he's
ranch
also
or whatever.
Temporarily redeemed by Shane Dawson via like a super popular, you know, internet docuseries.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. But he basically moved to Wyoming and got a bunch of yaks. And he was like posting and was like, look at my baby yaks. Aren't they so cute? And then like a couple weeks later, he's like, Jeffree Star yak meat out now. And he just like killed the yaks. Like he's farming them. It's what like, the hell? It's literally giving RuPaul fracking. Like what it's giving.
Is it like Jeffree Star branded? Like he's trying to make that a new offshoot of his like Capital Enterprises?
Yes. Like Star yak meat. Let me find it. What? It's really fucking crazy.
Because it would be one thing if he was just like doing it for himself. I don't know. But like to make that your new thing is weird.
Oh my God, it's so fucked up. Okay, yeah. So it's Star yak ranch. So then he's posting like little pictures of like, oh, like being with the yaks feels like heaven on earth. Like love being with the yaks. Like me with my yak girls, like having lunch with my yaks. And then like in a couple things, it's like, are delicious grass-fed yak. Like the next image is literally just like meat packaged up. And so yeah, he is killing the yaks and
wow.
serving them.
I mean, circle of life, gotta love it. But I can't imagine he's doing any of the actual hard labor. Like he probably comes in and takes a few pics and then is like, okay, bye, off I go.
No, definitely not. But like, why, if you're gonna kill the yaks and make meat out of them, why are you showing us like their vibes and being like, aren't they so cute? Like love the yaks. Like I don't right. wanna see that.
Don't get us attached to that.
He's literally posting videos of yaks giving birth to other baby yaks. And it's like, that yak is just going to be made into meat.
Yaks to the slaughter.
Yaks to the slaughter. I just think it's funny that everybody was like, oh, I mean, like, good for him, I guess. He's, like, spending time with yaks. And then it was like, and the yaks are being sold as jerky. They're being sold as yak jerky. Literally.
I do, although, on that topic of celebs moving to whatever, like Midwestern states, I really do think it's because at a certain point, like celebrity gets boring and the novelty yeah. becomes like a normal life. And so I think they like to cosplay. I mean, we see that all the time, even with like fashion, they try to like cosplay as the pores.
Right, right. Yeah. And they like going to places that are like beautiful and then ruining them.
Right. Immediately.
Somebody asked us who our favorite founding father was, to which I don't have an answer, but I was thinking about this guy. There was a founding father named Gouverneur Morris, and he
Sounds fake.
He almost died of a UTI, and then he tried to clear it by using a whalebone as a catheter. And so he did die from that. And that is what I was thinking about, him sticking a whalebone up his urethra and perishing. So I guess he's my favorite founding father, just for the slay of that all.
Yeah. Wow. That's honestly iconic. I mean, yeah, I think they all suck. And like, I've never really liked an American president to date. And I don't know if it's possible for me to really like an American president under the circumstances.
But if you had to pick who slayed in their wig the hardest.
Who slayed in their wig the hardest? Probably him, because I've never. Or maybe Taft, who like died in the bathtub. Like, that's how I would go out.
Well, he's personally. Not a founding father. The founding fathers are the people who signed the Declaration of Independence.
I know, but that's close enough for me.
It was many years later.
None of the founding fathers served so hard they couldn't get back up from the bathtub.
Except for Gouverneur Morris. He served so hard.
Okay, well then I acquiesce. Then it's him. Then it's Gouverneur Morris.
It is. And then somebody also said after that, this is an unrelated question to the other one, but experiences with UTIs from a UTI stress.
Oh my God.
Let me just say, I have the solution to your UTIs, guys. This changed
my
life.
She really does.
I really do. I used to get UTIs, and you know that fucking feeling when you know you're getting, you feel that little mm-hmm. tingle. You're like, I'm mm-hmm. getting a fucking UTI. Here is the solution, y'all. I actually told my mother about this. My mother, the gynecologist, who then later saw a study that confirmed what I said. But I'm just like obsessed with this. D-mannose pills will get rid of your UTI. If you are somebody that gets like recurrent UTIs, you can take D-mannose every day and it'll prevent you from getting UTIs. Or if you're someone who doesn't get recurrent UTIs, but like you start feeling that little tingle, you start taking D-mannose and that bitch stops it in its tracks. Ever since I have D-mannose, I have not gotten a UTI.
Just to clarify, it's also a supplement. It's not like a prescription or anything. But no, I can also double down on that and say that that's true. Julia, I don't know if you remember that one time I had that horrific UTI when we lived together. Like, okay,
we both had a horrific UTI because then Kat gave me some like UTI pills.
Oh right, no, I remember. But yeah. Do you remember that one time that like we had people over and like it was like during a dinner and I was literally just like shifting
yes,
in my chair?
I do remember that.
And then I had to drive Garrett home and then I was like, I need you to actually like stop, drop and roll out of the car. Like I need to keep right. driving because like I need to go home and sit on the toilet and cry.
Yeah. Oh my God. When you pee with a UTI and you feel that like stab. Ugh. And the fucked up thing is that men just don't fucking get UTIs except for Gouverneur Morris, I guess. But like he didn't have good sanitation back then.
I will also say I really do think sanitation is a part of it. I will say that since dating my current boyfriend, I have not had a UTI and usually I'm pretty prone to them. So I think part of it is on the part of whoever is inside of you. So don't let people put things inside of you that are nasty.
It also just like, I mean, it really depends on the situation. You can get a UTI from not having sex too. Like you can just right. generally get a UTI, but D-mannose is that bitch. You can get her on Amazon.
Love her.
I feel like this is information that every human being should have because I can't believe how well it works. And no, this is not sponsored by Big Mannose.
Julia, can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
That you don't know? When I was packing out before I moved out, I know that you had that like huge tub of D-mannose. And when you weren't home, I went into your room and I took like 10 D-mannose pills.
You know what?
Me.
I'm really glad that you did because I want everyone to have access to D-mannose.
And I packed it up and took it with me and those bitches served me well. So thank you. I'm sorry I stole from you.
No, it was a big tub.
Yeah, like, she's huge.
They're huge and like I just want everybody to have access to D-mannose. So yeah, that's my advice from a UTI stress.
Under Medicare for All, D-mannose will be free to all people who can get UTIs.
It's just like it's so rare that there's something that just like works so well that you're like, this is crazy. Like the tushy right. bidet.
Once again, we should really okay, here's my thing about the tushy bidet, and I do have a question for you on how you deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I installed mine wrong. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is every time I use it, the cheeks are sopping.
Wait, the cheek should not be sopping.
Which is my experience using the bidet at your house.
Right.
And so I don't really know. Maybe it's the angle. But unfortunately, it just becomes more of a hindrance because I have to sit there and wait for my cheeks to cease sopping.
No, it should be like a very pointed stream. You might need to like tighten like whatever you're doing, because if it shouldn't be like a spray, it should be like a targeted stream.
Right, that's exactly what I was looking for. So I think I do need to I'll go in there after we finish recording. I'll tighten up some bolts.
You can contact the people at Tushy and they will be happy to help you.
I'll be like, sorry, my cheeks are soaking, what's the deal?
You guys, this is not sponsored, like we genuinely just stand like ever since I got a bidet attachment, which by the way is very affordable considering like what it is, like you just attach it to your toilet
and
like,
you can install it yourself, but clearly you have the potential to do it wrong.
No, it was very stressful for me to install it, but I did install it and I did end up spraying myself with like water, like not toilet water, it's not toilet water because right. It comes from like whatever the clean water that goes in.
Yeah,
like I did end up like I had to tighten some things because I was spraying things everywhere. But once you figure it out, it's like, why do you just wipe with toilet paper when you could be using water?
That's so true.
We as a society need to talk about
that. Ever since you explained it to me as like, if you had poop on your face, would you just wipe it off with like a paper towel or would you like wash it with soap and water? And then I was like, wow. Yeah.
Much to consider.
Huge to consider. Somebody also asked us, and I actually want to know your thoughts because I don't think we've really talked about this, or we haven't talked about it in a while, but somebody was basically asking, first of all, how we like LA, which I think we've talked about before, but also like, do we plan to stay here? Like, where do we plan to like retire or like settle down?
I don't know. Depends where the world is burning or not.
Honestly.
Seriously. Like,
no, dude, every other week, I like recently have been on a really big kick of worrying about the big one. And you can like search your building and like look at the codes and see if it's like up to code on everything. And like, thankfully mine is, but also like there are cracks in the walls. So I'm like, mayhaps not.
Do you have an earthquake kit?
I don't, but I'm literally going to get one because I worked through like my worst case scenario. And like, literally, I told my boyfriend, I was like, if we are both in my apartment, like, I will grab Harley, you will grab Bug, we will both get under the table. Like, that's, we literally made a plan. And he was like, okay, if this happens and like everything is on fire and like everything shuts down, we will throw the cats into the cat backpack, which I have, and that holds both cats. And he's like, and we'll just walk like 40 miles and just like keep walking till we can get to like a place where we can rent a car or something. That's my earthquake plan.
I think it's not good to leave your house after the earthquake unless there's something like burning or like there's a gas leak.
Well, in my worst case scenario, I'm imagining everything is gone.
Right.
It's all rubble.
And I don't think that is going to happen, but we do need to get earthquake kits. If you guys have recommendations for earthquake kits, let us know because I want to get a good one. I do have a ton of water in my house and I have water in my car too, because what if you're in your car? You don't know if you're going to be in your car.
True.
Yeah, so that is concerning. Thank God I don't live in the Pacific Northwest. Shout out to the Cascadia subduction zone. Don't look it up unless you want to be like really fucking scared for the rest of your life.
But yeah, really sorry for y'all.
But I don't know, honestly, like who will know how my journey unfolds? Like,
so true.
And I don't know. Like, do people think about where they want to retire? Like,
I don't know. I definitely don't think about that. I think embrace the mystery. And honestly, like the times in my life when things have gone the best for me are the times that I like throw caution to the wind and like am unable to make plans. And I'm just like, well,
right,
we'll see what happens. And then like sometimes good things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I did get a thought recently when I visited North Carolina of like, wow, now that like I don't so closely associate the location with like the trauma of my upbringing. Like, it's actually very beautiful. And, like, I might want to, like, have kids here or something.
Oh, I miss the East Coast all the time. I miss it being green. And yes, I miss rain.
I'm not built for the desert at all. The other day, no, it I'm rained, like, very lightly for, like, 15 minutes. And, like, me and Redacted were on a walk. And we literally were like, like, yeah, shuddering.
I don't think I'm going to stay in LA forever. Like, definitely not, because I am going to miss the green. And, like, I kind of have a vision of, like, having a little house and, like, it snows. Yes. And, like, there's a lot. You make a little pie. Ah! Like I miss like
seasons.
Yeah, shout out to seasons. Although with global warming, who knows if any seasons are going to exist anymore. But
I might have to be slaying in Iowa for all we know.
I do miss the rain. I miss the rain
so much.
You really don't understand how much you miss the rain when you do kind of feel like you're living in like a weird like fantasy world where like, and maybe it's just different because we grew up in places where there were seasons.
Right.
But like, it's really weird to not have seasons. It like really fucks with your perception of time.
Totally. No, it really, really does. And like, it's hard to, I mean, it's nice because you don't get as depressed in the winter, but then it's like, what, how long has it been? Like, it just kind of feels like one long big summer.
If I could design like my dream, like climate, I think I would just make like winter would just be much shorter, but I still want to have winter.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
And I love fall in the Northeast. Like, oh my God, seeing the beautiful changing leaves and like getting the fucking, going apple picking and getting the little cinnamon like donuts at the apple picking place. You know what I'm
talking
about?
Being able
to
just like wear a little sweater and walk outside and feel the crunch of a leaf.
Yeah,
so
and also
nice.
I'm not built to be like showing my body off all the time either. Yeah, like I need to be back in like sweaters. Like you really have to like have like summer outfits like on you all times in LA.
I know, like my sweaters get like so little airtime and I have some really cute ones, so it's really unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I really think it's about where you grew up, because my mom grew up in LA and she like is always talking about like, I want to move back to LA, I hate it being cold. But like I think you do kind of long for like what you grew up with, and having seasons is nice, and considering like the climate catastrophe, it's probably not going to be that cold in the Northeast. But
I mean, the thing is, plain and simple, some of the most joyous human experiences are around these holidays that we've created. Halloween does not hit when it's hot outside. Christmas, whether or not you celebrate in a religious context or not, does not hit when it's hot outside.
And it's like you have to like create this sad, like I remember when it was fall, like I was like cooking, like I made like little pancake, like pumpkin pancakes, and it was like fun. But it's like we're really pushing it here, you guys, because like, and then like you get a little Christmas tree and it's like, but like it's
for
you
what
know, for what, like I feel like it feels like you're in an underground bunker and you're like trying to simulate seasons, but like they don't exist.
That one picture that's like of Mariah Carey and it's like me like in 2042 in my underground bunker making gluten-free pizzas for my two children who have never seen the sky.
Yeah, that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
All right, here's another question. Should you reach out to an old best friend that you had a friend break up with years ago? I actually have an answer to this question because I feel like I've reconnected with a lot of people. Not necessarily like, I think it depends on the friend breakup. Like if somebody does something absolutely like devastating to you, then probs not. But I do think that like sometimes you have stupid falling outs with people and then you don't talk for a while and then you reconnect and it's really nice. And like, I also strongly believe this was like always what my mom told me as a kid. And I've like really remembered it, that like people get put in on like almost like different shelves in your life, you know? And like if somebody does something that really hurts you, like it doesn't mean they can't be your friend anymore, but maybe like you just put them on a lower shelf, you know, like a lower priority. Maybe they're like a talk to them but like not hang out with them all the time kind of friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing in trying to like reconcile anything, especially if it's something as like that holds so much weight as a best friend breakup or something like that, is just not putting the pressure on for things to be the same way that they were. Like, you know, accept the possibility that you guys will now just go from being estranged to like being acquaintances, and just like letting that happen as it will. But I do think that life is short. I think that when you connect with somebody, you connect for a reason. And there are some like really real reasons that people, you know, stop being friends with each other. And there's some reasons that maybe change with time, or like maybe the other person has grown in certain ways that now enable you to be friends again, or maybe you have. And I think at least just like, I think it never hurts to send a text that's just like, hey, like, been thinking about you, hope you're doing well. I think that can always be like a nice little open door of just like, I don't have any hard feelings towards you and I'm open to like exploring what this connection could be. But I really think that the key is not to put too much pressure or expectation on any kind of outcome.
Definitely. But like, you know, I reconnected with an old friend recently because I saw something that like only like she would think was fun, and it was like so fucking funny, and it was something like really specific that like only she would think was funny. And it had been enough time, and we had like, we still followed each other on like social media and stuff like that, and it had been enough time that I was like she had liked some of my tweets or like commented on something, and so I sent it to her and it like genuinely was so funny, and we did end up talking again, which has been really nice. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean your relationship's going to go back to like how it was before, but like sometimes there are like, you see something and you're like, I really wish I could send this to that person. And like, sometimes if it has, I think the key is really to take enough space and time. And sometimes you will realize like, oh, that was a really stupid reason that like we stopped being friends. And sometimes it's like, I'm literally never talking to that bitch again. Like, fuck her. But like, I think it really, as you said, it really depends on like what you're expecting, and it's never gonna be, no relationship is ever gonna be the same like as it was after you have a falling out with someone. Sometimes it gets stronger and like better, and sometimes you just don't have the same vibe. But like, relationships don't stay the same over time. They're meant to evolve, and sometimes you fall apart and come back together, and sometimes you fall apart and then come back together in a way that's like very different than it was before. But like, for me, I agree with you. Like, life is short. Like, reconnecting with friends feels very different to me than, like, reconnecting with exes. It just seems less charged.
Yeah. And I also think that if this is a person that you knew in high school or college and now you are in, like, the adult world, the dynamics are very different. Like, without Definitely. All of the social politics, like, if you can both speak to each other as adults, like, a lot of the stuff that probably caused you issues earlier just isn't even a factor anymore.
Totally. Totally. And like also in college or high school, it's like you're seeing somebody every day. Like sometimes right. you get annoyed seeing somebody every day. But if you like if it's somebody that like I feel like I've really had different relationships with people that I had at different times in my life because it's like you only see them ever so often. And that makes it like more special that you get to yeah. see them at that time.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, this is an interesting question. How to navigate / connect to newly realized queerness if in a monogamous straight relationship?
I don't have an answer to that because I'm not in a monogamous straight relationship. I mean, I think that like I think it's like when you're in a relationship, like parts of you are going to come out more than other parts of you just in general, like whoever mm-hmm. you're with brings out different parts of you. And I think that like you don't forget about certain parts of you, but like maybe they just take kind of like less of a front role in your life. If you're in like a monogamous straight relationship, like you're obviously like not going to be like constantly like hooking up with people or like going on dates with people. But I don't know, I think it's like I think it's difficult for people if you're in a monogamous straight relationship and you're just realizing that you're queer. Like I think that's really hard.
Yeah, I think that can be in like a hard transition period. I also think that like discovering that doesn't strictly mean having to see it through like a sexual lens, like you right. know, queerness is also like a really beautiful like community that I'm sure that there are a lot of queer people wherever you live, whether it's like, you know, abundantly clear to you or not. And I feel like the way that that happens for me as like a queer woman who is like in a straight monogamous relationship is like, I mean, I have a ton of queer friends, so like that helps,
right?
But definitely. Like going to events and like seeking that out and like finding that environment and just like being willing to talk about it, because I think that like there's this perception that you won't really be accepted if those are the feelings that you have when you're in a straight monogamous relationship. And I find that that perspective of not accepting that kind of really exists mostly online. And I think that if you have queer friends who you love and who love you, like that's a great, those are great people to talk about that with. And those are great spaces to like be more involved in. And I don't think that you should have any shame about doing that or exploring that, because I think queerness is much more than just like strictly the people that you have sex with or the yeah. people that you're attracted to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can come to all sorts of realizations at different points in your life. And like sometimes that's just a realization that helps you add more dimension to who you are as a person rather than something that you necessarily need to like immediately act on.
Totally. And I think also like talking through some of this stuff with your partner could be, you know, beneficial to you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked, would love to hear some of your thoughts on the trend of colorless children's toys made.
Okay, let me just say, developmentally, that is bad for children.
It is. And like, I get that like people don't want like lead in their kids' toys anymore, because that was kind of happening right. at one point. But like, give your children color. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think developmentally, it's really important for them to have color. You don't need to like lobotomize them with cocoa melon or anything. But at the end of the day, like, don't choose your child's nursery or your child's clothes to fit your aesthetic. Like, obviously, no. as the person who is buying things for them, you will choose things naturally that like you have an affinity for. But overall, like, if the kid wants to wear Paw Patrol, you know, shit every single day, like, just let them do it. Like, don't force them into like a fucking beige muumuu with like lace up sandals because like you want to take a picture of them for Instagram.
I really think that if you are having kids, like, you should not at all expect them to fit into your aesthetic. Like, that's like, it's just, that's not going to happen. Like, kids have their own identity. It's like trying to force your child into like a certain right. identity that you have. And like, children are messy. Like, if you're trying to present your life online, like, I saw this one woman who like I follow, who's an influencer, and she's like, ugh, like, I bought my daughter like all these cute clothes and all she wants to do is wear her like princess outfit all the time. Or like another person, like, I bought my daughter all these cute clothes and all she wants to do is wear her like Paw Patrol shirt. And it's like, because it's a fucking child. Like, yeah. they don't know what like aesthetic coherence is. Like, they just want to wear something cute and fun. And it's the same thing of like, don't have an all white house if like you have kids, because they're gonna get things dirty. Like, right. you need to adjust your life, I think, and your expectations of like what things are going to look like and how you're going to present yourself when you have kids, because like, children are messy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think really just allowing your child to like be the full expression of who they are is like most important. And if that means that they will never fit into the like sad Norwegian like flare pants, then so be it.
Yeah, I think it's important to let your kids like choose to express themselves. I just love like Kim Kardashian being so stressed about it and being like, I will allow my children to pick one accent color for their room and then they all have that color. But like the rest of the house has to be beige. It's like, I actually think it's like your kid is not going to have like the same brain. Like, I think they're not going to like be able to recognize colors.
They have a concrete couch that one of them is absolutely going to bonk their head on and have to go to the emergency room because of.
But that's what I mean. Like, when people don't change their like lifestyle to have kids, it's like you shouldn't be having kids, because like having kids necessitates changing your lifestyle.
Yeah, you can't make the kid fit into the lifestyle you already have. You have to adapt your lifestyle around the child that you bring into the world.
Which I think is very shocking and upsetting to many people when they realize. They're like, what the fuck do you mean my kid's not gonna like act exactly how, I mean, people want like the Von Trapp children, right? That's how they want their kids to look. And I think it really comes from this idea of like, we have to present as a family this way, and like we need to make the family look good. And it's like, you should probably interrogate that if you're so concerned about the way your family like looks on social media. Like, it's just really, it's a bad look, babe.
Yikes, babe. Sounds like you've veered off track. Also, I have to discuss what's happening right now, which is that Harley has come over and is sitting on my feet, and she's just like laying down and looking up at me. Do you want me to pay attention to you? I pet you with my foot. I pet you with my foot.
Harl,
she's so big. She's a real cat. She's a real cat.
She really is. Somebody says, what do the Binstresses think about the destruction of the Library of Alexandria? I honestly don't know a lot about it. Should I look it up?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know it was like destroyed. A great destruction. It was destroyed. It was before the digital archive, so I know that many things were lost.
I think it's really fucked up in general. Book burning, it's giving Nazis. So,
right.
No, I mean, I think it's just like a tragedy in general when any, like, if you think about wars too, like destroying some of like the oldest architecture in the world, like in Syria, some of the oldest architecture like to exist has been destroyed because of like the Syrian civil war. And that's just like really tragic. I think it's tragic when like history gets destroyed in general, especially like knowledge and like stuff that's like really important and sacred to people. Okay, so the Great Library of Alexandria in Egypt was one of the largest and most significant libraries of the ancient world. Okay, so it had tons of papyrus scrolls, and I guess the kings had like a lot of interest in like procuring texts. So there were, I guess, around 40,000 to 400,000 scrolls in the Library of Alexandria at its height, which is a lot of fucking scrolls.
That's a ton.
So then what happened was, oh, interesting. So Wikipedia says, despite the widespread modern belief that the Library of Alexandria was burned once and cataclysmically destroyed, the library actually declined gradually over the course of several centuries. So I guess over time, like, it kind of was destroyed, which is still sad. But it's not like somebody just like burned it down.
I was under the impression that there was just like a bomb, and then all of a sudden, like, it was just a pile of dust and like a tumbleweed.
All the knowledge was gone.
And we've not had knowledge since.
No, we've had no knowledge since. But like in general, like, I mean, like the destruction of like the Temple of Jerusalem too is like a very important thing to the Jews, because like that was like a really tragic moment. I also think, you know, a lot of people have talked about before the Nazis, it was Weimar Germany. And this was like a really kind of avant-garde period in German history where there was all this like queer knowledge that was being produced. Like, that's when people were first doing the first trans surgeries and like talking about trans people. Yeah. A lot of these people who were involved in this were Jewish, and the Nazis burned so many books and so much knowledge produced by Jewish people. And a lot of that was like information about gender and information about sexuality, because they thought it was like super immoral that there were gay people and that people were free with sex and people were free with gender. And so a lot of people talk about that being like a really tragic moment, obviously for all the other reasons, but also because it destroyed this like queer knowledge that like we could have had much earlier. And like, if you think about that, like how often knowledge has been destroyed, like, I mean, Foucault was really right when he was like, knowledge is power, and people who have knowledge are like the ones in power. And to destroy knowledge, and like, it really is taking power away from people. Because I think about like, wow, they had so much information about like how to do these trans surgeries,
right,
like in Weimar Germany, and then like people have to recreate like all this knowledge all over again.
Totally. Yeah. Thumbs down for the burning of the Library of Alexandria and all other destruction of knowledge.
Although it seems like it was not burned down. It seemed like it declined steadily over several generations.
Thumbs down for the steady decline of the Library of Alexandria.
But I don't know. That's like definitely, which like is not a good sign for America because people have been burning books and banning books. But like that's one of like the number one signs of like it's giving fascism is when you start burning books.
Right. And it's so funny because the right loves to equate that with like, I mean, there are a bunch of like places that wouldn't screen or wouldn't stream that like transphobic documentary What Is a Woman, and like mm-hmm. a lot of bookstores that wouldn't carry like openly like misinformed and transphobic books, and it's like the left is burning books. It's like, please look at the history of like banned books in this country and tell me who has done the majority of that. I mean, it even like look at like Disco Demolition Night, like that was like, you know, a huge thing done by the right to burn like the media of like the upcoming like, you know, queer and artists of color.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm reading about book burning. And as you just said, in modern times, other forms of media such as records, videotapes, and CDs have been burned, shredded, and crushed, which is definitely like an aspect of cultural genocide,
right?
Which I totally agree with. I mean, to like destroy stuff like that, I don't know, I'm like thinking about people like burning like Lady Gaga CDs or whatever, because they're like, what was it, like people were like stomping on their like brand new records
when Mitski got accused of kidnapping
and people were like, burn her books.
Yeah, no, but I mean, on the real, that's like a very classic trope of like any kind of like dominating or colonialist society. I mean, that's like the whole thing with like the Native American like re-education, like when yep. Native American children were matriculated into like Canadian schools, especially like that's a cultural genocide of like stripping them of their right to know about their culture and, you know, destroying that knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Apparently Kafka was like, burn everything that is unread, like after I die. I wonder what he was saying. But that's different. I mean, it's right. if it's your own if shit.
Your own, yeah.
I have a very distinct memory of reading a book about Helen Keller as a child and how her house burned down, I think, and like the book that she wrote, like from scratch, like burned, and she was just like, I'm just gonna like write it again. And I was like, damn, I would be pissed.
We like freak out if like the past 2 minutes of an episode get cut off and we have to do that part again. Like, I cannot imagine.
I know, it's crazy. It's like people are dedicated to getting knowledge out there, so shout out to them.
Someone said, please tell me why you guys don't live together. Guys, it was no beef.
Guys, it's actually like probably not good to like work together like every single day and live together. Like,
and also see each
other. Good. And yeah. Oh, this is an interesting question. If COVID never happened, where do you think you'd be?
Ooh, I would probably be in law school right now.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have graduated from college yet.
I would have last year, or like this year. I would be prepping to go into law school.
I forgot that you skipped a grade.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, because I went in with a political science intention.
She would be saving the lives of many.
I would be going into massive debt and being miserable is what I would be doing.
Do you think that's like, do you think that your life would have, like, that's the course it would have taken?
I mean, not necessarily, because by that time I was already taking, like, I was just kind of, my academic advisor was like, you need to start taking more poli sci classes. And I was like, just taking a bunch of like gender studies and creative writing classes. And I was like, I don't think so. So maybe I would have just like pivoted that way and tried to like go into an MFA or something. But I'm sure that I would probably fucking just stay in DC, or God forbid I would be in New York, and then I would be so like miserable and wretched.
If COVID hadn't happened, I mean, this podcast definitely would not exist. So that would be fucked up. There are some silver linings to horrible things, but this is like literally what my dad writes about all the time, is counterfactual history, like thinking about how things would have been different if like one little thing had changed, which I guess this isn't a little thing, but like I think that is probably something that, I mean, I thought about it all the time when COVID first happened, like how much fun I would be having and how much better my life would be. But like, I don't know, this is the way it happened, and like I'm very grateful for the podcast and everything else that's come out of it. So wish COVID didn't happen, but yeah. You make lemonade out of lemons. You make Baja Blast out of Bajas.
Out of Bajas, absolutely. And I do love my life, and I am very grateful. And I love my job, and I love the pod. And thank you for listeners submitting things, because we don't have guests, but now you are our guest. Sorry, I'm like two beers deep at this point, so.
It's a drunk history episode.
Yeah, basically. We started talking about book burning, and now I'm past the point.
Well, we love you guys very much. Thanks for sending in your questions. We love doing these episodes, so we will do another one soon.
Yeah.
And as we've said, if there's anything funny on the internet that you want us to respond to, send it to us. We will be taking a 2-week hiatus after this. You can visit our Patreon for more of us if you just can't get enough.
So true. And speaking of our Patreon, we gotta thank
Mariah.
Yeah, thank you. If you subscribe to our Patreon, I'll never do a fake run on this podcast ever again. Thank you so much to our goodly waves who keep the show running. We love you so much. Nicole Pearl, Ruth Curry, Rhiannon Ellis, Madison Greer, Summer, Layla Elgasob, Hannah James, Caledonia Strelow, Mary Blodgett, Claire Carter, Hannah Wagner, Isla Osborne, Madison Chamberlain, Jasmine Savoy, Hazel Fleck, Casey Johnston, Janelle C, Katie, Jada, Mariella Canales, Liz Callahan, Taryn M, and Hazel Mitchell.
We love you guys.
We love you. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
We hope you enjoy your stay.